Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 183 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of January 5th, 2018. That's right, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is mystical luchador Dan Ryan.
Woohoo!
It's our first show of the new year, and Dan and I are going to do a nice little 2018 year in preview. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you. The listener.
The listener.
There it is. Hey, Dan, what's new? How you doing? How's 2018 treating you?
So far, so good. I picked up the show 2017 finally, because see what happened is that I get a little obsessive with that game, so I'm not allowed to buy it all the time, but it was $10 on a PlayStation holiday sale, and I just said fuck it, I'm buying it, and I'll ask for permission later or forgiveness or whatever it has to be. And it's fucking awesome. It's so good. I love the show. We've talked about my love of the show, game of the year 2 years ago, because it is just that damn good.
It's a damn fine baseball game.
It really, really is. So I've been playing a ton of that, and I also picked up this little indie game called Jotun Valhalla Story.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, it looks really awesome, and it was like $4. So I figured, because I want to switch the focus of Bits and Brews for this year. Last year it was all Jersey centric beers, which there's so much good stuff coming out of New Jersey, I'm gonna keep it that way too. But the craft beer industry is really pushing this independent brewed craft beer thing instead of just craft beer. They're really going for the independently owned label on all of their stuff, because there's been a lot of like mergers and acquisitions, mm-hmm. Of like beloved breweries getting bought up by like Anheuser-Busch, and that just makes everybody angry. So Bits and Brews this year is going to feature only independent games. So independent beer, independent games.
So you're going to need to play a lot more indie games.
So I'm going to need to play a lot more indie games. So I picked up
At least 12.
So I picked it up because it was $4, and I've been meaning to get to it for so long. Like it's one of those games that every time, like, I'm just scrolling through the PlayStation Store or whatever, like, it pops up and I watch the video of it. Fuck, that looks really cool, man. Like, I really, really want to play that game. And at $4, I just did not have an excuse not to.
That's understandable.
So,
kind of hard to say no to that for $4.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, even if it's terrible, how terrible could it be at $4?
So what kind of game is it?
It's, I don't know, I haven't even started it yet. It's an adventure, like, hack and slash kind of thing, I think.
Okay.
Sort of like a top-down combat view, almost, but graphics are really, really pretty.
Hmm.
Nice. It's gotten favorable reviews and whatnot, and, you know,
like I said, I've heard good things, so.
Yeah, it covers Norse mythology, so it can't be all bad. You know? I mean, it's not Rocket League that somebody's 2.5 years late to the party, but whatever.
Hey, man, it just came out on Switch, right? I'm not the
but
only one late
so
to the party.
It's so good, right?
Holy crap, it's so good.
It's so fun.
I've had some ridiculously awesome gaming in the last, I guess, week and a half or whatever, how long it's been since we did that crazy 19-hour-long episode. All right, so I got Rocket League. All right, after we finished the show, and you guys were all talking up Rocket League, I broke down and said, you know what? It's on sale for $15. How can, like you guys said, how could I turn that down? So I
yeah, you really can't. Yeah.
I fired it up and I went through the training mode with John, my kid,
mm-hmm.
and he was really into it. And I was like, yeah, this is okay. All right. So then I wound up playing some matches and we were just doing, I don't know, some random bullshit exhibition matches, and I didn't really quite click it. Like, it just didn't really quite hit with me. And then I was like, all right, there's something here. I want to see if I can get into a campaign, like start a season. And so then I just, you know, did. I looked at the menu, which isn't the main menu, isn't like completely, because this game's clearly designed around you want to go online and play with other people, but I right. don't want to do that yet. So I found out how to start a proper campaign, and like within by the second match, I was so incredibly hooked. It just so completely hooked on this game. I couldn't put it down. And most of the way through my first season, after I think the fourth or fifth match, I unlocked Samus's car.
Nice.
So I'm never using another car for the rest of the game.
No, of course not.
Like, I've seen the Mario and Luigi cars. I don't care. It's not a Samus's gunship car, which is about as awesome as it gets. And I even looked at all the DLC cars. I'm like, none of this is as cool as Samus's starship, because nothing is as cool as Samus's starship. It's so awesome. It's got, like, the when you do the turbo boost, the trails or the wave beam.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is so, so awesome. And I'm starting to get okay at it. I guess as okay as one can really be in a game that Jordan aptly described as if the puppy bowl were a real sport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that is a very apt description. Now, I am in love with Rocket League. I can't wait to play more of it. But
it really does, when you play that online, it really does open up a whole other level of amazing.
I'm looking forward to that, because right now I'm like, I'm kind of learning the patterns of how the computer plays, and I'm looking forward to dealing with the way people play, because I'm on easy mode because I'm a wuss,
of course.
And I'm learning. So I started off on an easy mode, and I can usually start off each match with at least one score just by boosting straight to the ball and doing a straight shot on goal, which I'm sure once I play against people, that will never work.
No, never.
Because I'm sure everyone's doing that. But right. I'm looking forward to getting even deeper into that game. It's so ridiculously good. I also started putting some time into that Spelunker game I was talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I downloaded that when it was on sale, and I didn't touch it for a little while because I was busy with so many other things. And then I decided I really wanted to fire it up and give it a try. And it is really good. I can't really say... I don't know how much content there is in this game. Like, I really don't know how long it is, but even as is, I paid the right price for it. Like,
right.
$18 to $20, that's the price for this game. $30, I just can't justify spending $30 on this kind of a game. Like, I'm having so much fun with it. But the multiplayer is weird. It does split screen kind of oddly. My sister and I used to play the original NES when we were kids, and she was over for New Year's. And I was like, you got to play this game. And she was super happy to play it. But when we went two-player co-op, it plays great, but it does split screen. And it does it in a way where it's like, there's a lot of dead area on the screen. So your individual screens are kind of small. Like, even doing a two-player split screen, it's still not much bigger than if it was a four-player split screen, you know? It's kind of a weird way they split the screen on that. I wasn't crazy about it, but it's super fun. You get pets. I didn't know that.
There you go.
So I have a dog following me around in the caves, and like when we go into like small places, he'll jump on my head, and I'll just walk around with a dog on my hat, and that's kind of adorable.
Naturally.
So yeah, Spelunker Party for Switch is freaking great. I don't know if it's on other platforms. It might be, but it's really, really cool. I'm really digging that game. And the other one that I've been playing a ton of, besides I played another level of Doom. Oh my God, Doom. So here's what happened. I finally encountered my first cacodemons, and they were my favorite monsters in the original Doom.
Oh yeah, they're awesome.
The big red orbs, when they first show up, and they go, and then you kill them, they go. I love those things. So I'm playing Doom. I'm down here in the basement all by myself, and I'm playing Doom in the dark. And then I turn like this corner, and there's cacodemons, and I'm like. Cacodemons! I gotta get a screenshot. So I'm running around, I'm snapping as many screenshots as I can, and then I died because I'm not fighting them. I'm taking screenshots, and they're just pummeling me with laser blasts because they barf up those purple laser whatever orbs of death. So I die like five times trying to get a picture of these things. I cannot get a picture of the cacodemons because they just keep moving around. So I've got like 35 pictures in my Switch picture lineup thing that are all like out of focus. You know, they're turned around or they're mid animation or something. It's like, I just want a screenshot of Cacodemons, you fuckers. I'm still at that part. I haven't gone past that part yet. I'm going to try taking pictures one more time. But I was so happy when I saw the Cacodemons. I'm sad they don't make that sound anymore. Like, they don't make either of the sound effects, like when they first show up, or they don't go blah, 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 when you kill them. But whatever. They're still amazing. They look fantastic. I love them. God, I love that game. And the other cool thing is that, all right, so when I bought Overcooked a while back, I was sure that Karen was going to get into the game because she loves cooking, and it's a relatively simple enough premise. Like, you controlling it is easy enough to get the basics, and I was sure she would love the game, but it just kind of filled her out. Like, she really loved the idea of it, and because we had played it a while back when my friend Tony brought over his PS4, like, way before it even was announced for Switch. And we really enjoyed, like, a couple of levels. So we finally got on Switch, we played a couple more levels, and she just started getting really anxious and angry at the game because of how hard it was. And then we didn't play it for a long, long time. And that made me sad because I really wanted to play more of the game, but you just can't play that game single player. It's just not very fun.
Yeah.
So New Year's Eve, we had my niece over, and I thought it would be really cool if Karen and Ashley played it together instead of, and just I wasn't anywhere involved in it, because Karen tends to get a lot of anxiety around when we're playing cooperative games because she's not as good at them as I am, and she thinks that bothers me for some reason. Like, it really doesn't, but she feels like kind of embarrassed, or it's kind of hard to explain, and there's no amount of me telling her, no, it's all for fun. You don't have to worry about being bad at things. It's fine. I die at video games too, a lot.
Yeah, and okay.
It really is okay, but it's just kind of this kind of built-in anxiety with her. So I figured putting her in the kitchen with Ashley with that game would work really well, and it did. And so they played a couple levels together, and then I said, all right, I'll join in, because you can play up to four players in it. And so the three of us were playing it together, and eventually Ashley's playing just devolved into her grabbing the fire extinguisher and spinning around, because she's a kid. And that was fine, because we all had a lot of fun, and it just clicked again with Karen. And for the last two nights, that's what she wanted to do. Like, I don't want to watch TV or anything. I just want to play Overcooked. And I'm like, yeah, you got it. I got no problems with that. We were just playing it before the show tonight. I played it all the way up until the very second I had to come downstairs, because it's so much fun, and it keeps getting harder. But she's, like, really up for the challenge now, and I'm loving that. I haven't seen her this into a game since Runner 2, which is really awesome. Super, super fun. Super fun. Overcooked, such a great game. Do you That's have that really one? Cool. I know we've talked about it. I can't remember.
No, I don't.
You really should.
I do not.
It's a damn PS4 game. Are you sure don't have it? Are you sure it wasn't in PlayStation Plus at some point and you don't just have it?
I am 100% sure.
That's crazy. Well, anyway, let's start the show, shall we?
Well, and it's interesting, too, because, like, there's been a couple things going around on Reddit and on different forums, whatnot, and it was an idea I had that I was going to bring up to you, like, for us to do something with it about, like, I have such a backlog of games that I was like, you know what, this year I'm not going to buy any new game. I'm just going to go through my backlog. And then I started, like, I mean, obviously with some caveats, like, there's a new God of War, so, like, you're buying God of War. But then I started looking at the rest of this list of what we're going to talk about, and I was like, fuck, my backlog is just going to sit. It's just going to sit there, and I'm not going to get to it, because we have got some damn good shit coming out this year, and I am really excited about most of what we're going to talk about tonight.
As am I, and I had a similar thought. Actually, I didn't have a similar thought. It was a similar thought, not the same thing. There was no way I was going to say I'm not buying any new games this year and just catch up on the backlog, because that's just not me. But my idea was that I am going to, similar to the way I did this year, I'm going to try my best to not create a bigger backlog. And I think I did really well with that this year. Right. There weren't many games that came out that I didn't play that I wanted to. Like, I really just kind of went for it. And fortunately, a lot of those games were indie games, so they weren't super expensive.
Right.
It went very well for me.
And they're not super long.
There are a few lingers from this year that I want to get to in 2018. There's Sorry, it is 2018. So there were a few lingerers from last year. The two that jump out at me are Ukulele and Blossom Tales. And Blossom Tales.
I have just heard terrible things about Ukulele.
I have heard mixed things about Ukulele. And primarily what I want out of this game is I'm super excited about the music. Mm-hmm. And I can forgive a lot of crappy game design if the music is great. And since this is a Grant Kirkhope with assist from David Wise soundtrack, I think I'm going to be okay. I like Probably. The character designs. I like the sense of humor. As long as it is a functional platformer, and especially since everything I've heard points to the Switch version as being the best version. Like, it's past all the updates, and so it's the cleanest one. I really want to support this game. The thing is that I really want it physically. This strikes me as one of those games that I want the packaging and stuff for. Mm. And they haven't announced a physical version for Switch yet. So I'm kind of on the fence on when I'm going to get around to playing this game. So I'm probably going to go with Blossom Tales first, which I don't know if have we talked about Blossom Tales on the show yet?
I don't think so. Maybe.
This is a... it's an indie game, and it is basic. Everyone keeps saying that it's basically like A Link to the Past. And it looks like A Link to the Past. And you do things like you swing your sword, you hold the button, and it flashes, and then you can do a spin attack. There's, you know, blocking arrows with your shield. Like, it looks like a Zelda game. And everyone I've heard talk about this game has just been glowing about it. Like, it's as good as a Zelda game's gonna 2D Zelda game's gonna get until they introduce the Virtual Console and put Link to the Past on there. It's just, it looks great. I feel like it sounds great, and it's FDG Entertainment is publishing it, and they're the same people who published the Dragon's Trap. So feel like these guys have a pretty good track record, and I want to try to get to that one before some other things. So Ukulele and Blossom Tales are kind of my two hits right off the bat.
All right, well, let's jump right in.
Let us jump right in. All right, so 2018, as Dan said, is already looking pretty stacked, and we don't even know everything that's coming out this year, not by a long shot. So the way we're going to play this is we're going to start off with the few games that we have release dates for and just kind of run down those in release date order, and then the rest we're just going to do alphabetically because we don't know when they're coming out other than 2018. Two notable omissions on here are Bayonetta 3 and Metroid Prime 4, because I don't think they're coming out this year. But
I would be shocked if Metroid Prime 4 does not make it out this year. But
really?
Well,
I think that's extremely early in development. I think we're going to hear more about it at E3, but I think that little title that they had at E3 last year was all they had.
Well, they better get coming with something then. Because there's a lot of good for the Switch, and there's a lot of good games coming out for the Switch. But to keep that momentum, I really feel like they need their marquee franchises to be there, and they already blew Mario and Zelda.
They did, and Mario Kart.
Couple of months,
but they still have a theoretical Smash in their pocket. Even if they want to do just a re-release of the previous Smash, that's a big tentpole for them because that was a huge seller on Wii U, and it didn't even hit a fraction of its potential audience. And we'll get to that.
We'll get there.
There's supposed to be a Nintendo Direct coming out soon. That's the rumor, and that wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, I think Metroid is next year.
We'll see.
We will see. All right, so January. Here we are. We're in January, and the first thing is, if you pretend that this is the first release of this game, it's kind of cool. Street Fighter V Arcade Edition comes out January 16th, and it's got what looks like a full roster of characters and an arcade mode. So basically a finished product. So the rest of Street Fighter V is coming out.
Right. Which it's about damn time. I mean...
It really is.
It really, really is. Like, Capcom really, really screwed that up.
They did. And as much as we've talked about it plenty, we've really talked about Street Fighter V a lot on this show, but as much as I want to like it, I mean, they're putting Blanca in there, and there's just still something weird about this art direction that's rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I don't even like the way Blanca looks.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it. I do like that Cody is not in a... Thank you so much for fixing that. No, no, I like that Cody is not in a prison garb anymore, because I was never a fan of that. That was just so strange.
No, I never liked that look. It was very odd.
I just thought it was odd that Cody became a criminal. Like... They just changed that character so much. Why did that have to be Cody is what I don't understand.
Right.
If you're going to throw Cody from Final Fight in there, you know, he was a good guy that beat up the Mad Gear gang and to save Mike Hagar's daughter that he was banging. So what the hell, man? That was such a weird choice. Anyway, he's wearing a vest. He looks like Dean now. So
he does look like Dean. Oh, I might buy this game now.
Just to play as Dean.
Just to play as Dean.
Dean Fighter 5.
But I'm not going to. Because the second game that we have a date for in January is really, I think, the only fighting game
that matters
that we're going to need this year.
I agree. And that is Dragon Ball FighterZ. Comes out January 26th. Holy crap, I need this game in my life.
I am so excited for this game.
I'm so sad that it hasn't been announced for Switch.
I don't know if the Switch can handle it.
I'm sure the Switch can handle this.
I don't know, though. Like,
doing that is so technically... so much more advanced than Doom? What is so much more advanced than Doom in Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Doom might have been the one where they said that they had to down-res a lot of it. I could be thinking of something else. I don't really remember. Like, because the Switch is definitely a step up. Like, and it is definitely like a quote-unquote current-gen... console, but it's still not as powerful as the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4, let alone the One X.
Definitely
and the PS4
not,
Pro.
But
so
that's the thing about. Go ahead.
In order to maintain that level of visuals and that level of fluidity, because that's a game where like frame rate is super important. Because if that starts to drop, you're going to lose the anime-inspired look of it. So I don't know if it's powerful enough to run it to where it looks comparable enough, if that makes sense.
I
would have to
disagree.
Imagine that is the only reason it hasn't been announced for it.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure the only reason, other than who the hell knows, but they put Xenoverse on there. Which is a much more, it seems to be a much more taxing game, because that's the thing about one-on-one fighters like this, is that you can put so much more processing power into so many fewer things, and because of the art direction that they chose to go with, and the frame skipping, to make it look more like animation instead of moving polygons,
right.
Like, it looks so impressive because of the art direction. And yes, it is technically very impressive, but... I don't think that game doesn't look like it couldn't have been done on the previous generation. Like, it really doesn't. I mean, look at the Naruto games on PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that big a difference. If you're looking at those Naruto games on PlayStation 3, and those are full on 3D, action games. And this is a 2D fighter. Like, it looks so amazing. I'm convinced that it looks as amazing as it does because of the art direction and not because of some sort of technical wizardry. Like, I really don't think this game should have a problem. Obviously, much like Doom, if you put them next to each other, you're going to be like, oh yeah, the PS4 version looks way better.
But of course,
if you're playing it on, it's like exactly like Rocket League and Doom, those games, you play them on their own and you're just like, okay, I'm playing Rocket League. Or I'm playing mm-hmm. Doom. But if you put them mm-hmm. next to the other systems, you're like, oh, okay, now I see the difference. And it is a pretty decent difference. But FighterZ, something like that, bright, colorful, thick black lines, there's not a lot, doesn't seem to be a lot, like, too technically taxing. I feel like that game could run on Switch. And
I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't know enough of, like, specs and what really any of that means. I would just have to guess that that's the only reason, because the Nintendo console is perfect for FighterZ. I mean, like, I believe the cross section of Nintendo people and Dragon Ball Z people is pretty large.
Well, it definitely is. I mean,
I would have
Xenoverse freaking sold gangbusters on Switch, and
yeah.
it's Xenoverse. The game's not new. So,
and it's not great.
Yeah, I didn't buy it, and I'm a Dragon Ball fanatic. Mm-hmm. But FighterZ, if they announce that on Switch, I will buy that in a heartbeat. I have to get a PlayStation 4 in my life somehow.
You do. This is pretty much as long as nothing else crops up, I'm pretty sure this is going to be a day one purchase.
And I will be very jealous of you on day one, because it's not getting released by January 26th on Switch. I can guarantee that. Yeah, and I'm not getting a PS4 by January 26th because I don't have $300 to blow on it. So
yeah, sell a kidney. It'll be worth it.
Who needs them? Yeah. All right, moving on to February. We're going to try to keep the pace up decently on this. February 6th, we've got Shadow of the Colossus. I've another never heard of this game.
Super Noah, what is this? Is another thing I'm so excited for. So excited for, because, I mean, and we've talked about Shadow of the Colossus to death, I think, on this show, but if you go back and play the original PS2 Shadow of the Colossus, It's
like playing Star Fox on Super Nintendo. Like, you can tell what they were going for, but the system wasn't really designed for that.
It just wasn't ready for it. And the remake on PS3 was good, or the HD upscale was good, but it wasn't. It still had the frame rate issues and the different things that has always plagued Team Ico games. Most specifically Shadow of the Colossus. So with this being a complete rebuild of this game, I can't fucking wait. I really can't. Like, it's such a gorgeous game, and Team Ico Games create atmosphere unlike any other company. There's just nobody that does anything even close to what they do. And that doesn't mean that their games are better or anything at all. They create an atmosphere and a feeling during gameplay that really, like, other than, and I can really only think of a couple other Sony games that do that, like Flower and Journey. It's just this incredible experience to have, and I can't wait to have this in a version that's actually playable.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked to at least watch videos of it. You know, at least just watch it go. I just got a Twitter notification that Zeo Drifter is getting ported to Switch. Yay! Yeah. Did you play Zeo Drifter?
I did. I liked it.
Yeah, it was cute little Metroidvania. I'm all about it.
Good little game. Yeah,
I might buy that again because it was really short. If the price is right, I might just blast through it again.
Yeah, $5-$6. Seems about right for that game.
Yeah, it probably won't be that because, I mean, it's, I don't know, I have a feeling it won't be, but if it's like 10 to 15, I'd do that for $10 to $15. Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Shadow of the Colossus, freaking the Colossus, awesome.
February 6th.
Super awesome. All right, next up is Owlboy. What's
Owlboy?
Yeah,
this game, this is a Steam, it's been out on Steam for a little while. I know nothing about the game other than how it looks. And it looks really awesome. It's got a very anime-inspired art style, but it looks gorgeous in motion. And it just, to be fair, I'm actually talking out of my ass right now. It looks like a platformer. I know nothing about it other than that. It just looks really cool. Have you not seen anything for this?
Why, yes, I have seen B.O.Y. Owlboy before. I know exactly what it looks. Oh, wow, yeah, no, I have not seen this before. Oh, this is cute.
This looks really cool.
Who's
it's got
making
a really
this?
Cool art style.
Who's making this?
I have no idea. The art style is reminiscent
D-pad
of...
D-Pad Studio, huh? Oh, it's coming out on Switch.
Yeah. It's reminiscent Studio. Of some of the... Legend of Zelda 3DS games.
I just went to D-Pad Studios website and they've got three games listed. Owlboy, Savant Ascent's website. Oh, Savant Ascent. That's it. Savant Ascent. The text is really weird. It's hard to read. And Vikings on Trampolines.
Nice.
Sold. Cold. A chaotic multiplayer game where you try to knock other Vikings off their trampolines in order to win. Announcement coming soon. Estimated release date 2018. Add that one to the list. Vikings on trampolines.
Vikings on trampolines. You heard it here first. Yeah, like I'm looking at the review for it right now on Good Old Games. It's got a 4.5 out of 5, which is awesome. I mean, like, you don't. What more do you need? The pixel platformer.
Oh boy, this is pretty.
Right? It looks very cool.
Yeah, I'm watching a little trailer for it right now. Huh. All right. That is a fantastic looking game.
Yep, this is something that I'm into. It should be really cool. It should be good times. This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about with Bits and Brews this year.
Yeah, things that you're gonna. I get that. Wow, all right, neat.
Yeah, so add another one to the Switch list. And this might actually be one that I pick up on Switch. Something that I can just grab and play. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to you getting into that portability factor with the Switch, because it's been a real game changer for me. I found 3 moons on the toilet this morning in Mario Odyssey.
I really want to get another dock for our downstairs television.
That was also life-changing. We got a dock down here in the basement, dock in the living room, and it's a great idea.
I feel like if I grab another one of those, I'm going to be much more apt to play it.
They're pricey, which sucks, but
I know
it was so worth it. It's so worth it.
It seems like it would be. Anyway, so Owlboy looks very, very cool.
It sure does. I think we just talked about this on the show pretty recently. Did we
Bayonetta
talk about
1
this?
And 2?
Yeah.
The I talked Switch about this release with somebody. Yeah. 1 and 2? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
So we were, they're re-releasing Bayonetta 1 and 2 on Switch. I am going to do it this time. I'm going to not only buy them, but play them this time. Because I bought Bayonetta 2 on Wii U, but I didn't get the Bayonetta 1 copy, so I wanted to play the first one first. So this time, I'm not sleeping on it. I'm buying it straight away, and I am playing this game. So that is my February game. I have to get through January with the stuff that I have. I don't think there's any other releases hitting in January that I need to play. Besides, I mean, the Arcade Archives is doing Double Dragon. But I don't need the arcade version of Double Dragon right now. I don't need that in my life right now. It's fine. I've played it 100 times. I'm just going to work on the stuff I have and get ready for Bayonetta 1 and 2. That is my February. Unfortunately, it's not that long into the month. It's only the 16th.
Yeah.
Day before is the Secret of Mana remake.
Which kind of came out of nowhere, but is very awesome.
It is very awesome. This is another one of those... I'm pretty sure this is one that Square explained why it isn't on Switch. They're like, yeah, we started developing this before the Switch was a thing, so
yeah,
maybe someday. And I get that. I was really pissed when they announced it. I was like, how is this not on Switch? They put the Secret of Mana collection on Switch, for crying out loud, in Japan.
Right.
Come on, localize that one at least for us.
Yeah, really.
Localize that freaking collection. Put it on every platform. I don't care if it's on Switch. The other games need to be localized and brought to America. Damn it. But yeah, Secret of Mana remake looks pretty sweet.
Yeah. Secret of Mana is great. It's a great game. I haven't played it in, God, 15, 20 years at this point.
Yeah, I've never played through it, but I just recently, I think last year, put a little time into the original one and actually made it somewhere in the game. It's like, okay, yeah, this is a really great game. I wish I had more time to play it. You know why this game really needs to be on Switch is that multiplayer. Breaking off a Joy-Con and doing multiplayer. That's what I'm talking about. The jump-in, jump-out multiplayer of Secret of Mana is pretty... anything co-op, like couch co-op, is great on Switch. It's really well designed.
Yeah, it really
for that.
Is. Yeah.
But yeah, this game looks really cool. I like that they didn't seem to go overboard on the graphics. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't look like... It looks like a really high-end, like a really souped-up PS2 game. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't look like a modern game, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's exactly what it should look like.
Yeah, it really, really does look nice. They didn't try to, you know, over Square Enix it, you know, where everyone's got, like, super detailed hair and stuff. Like, it still looks very cartoony, and I loved that art direction in that game. So I'm really happy with, really, really happy with the way this looks. I hope it sounds as good, too, because that soundtrack, Secret of Mana, you don't want to screw with that.
I can't imagine they will.
You never know. Square Enix has done weird things.
Speaking of
doing weird things...
The best Metal Gear game ever. Metal Gear Survive.
Will this be better or worse than Metal Gear Acid is the question.
I mean, I think the biggest fear with this game in particular is, what if it is great?
It very well could be great, but I don't understand why they're using the Metal Gear license for this.
Because it's Metal Gear and that sells.
It's so weird to me. Konami has other properties that would... I'm sure they could have thought of... I'm so confused.
Silent Hill survived.
This is what they do. After the whole business with Kojima, this is where they take Metal Gear next. This is like Federation Force. I mean...
It really is. It makes no kind of sense. I hope, you know, it's great.
Federation Force was a perfectly good game, but nobody wanted it. And I think that's going to be the problem with Metal Gear Survive.
Yeah, it looks weird.
It does.
The weapons look cool, but I don't know.
I mean, I've checked out of the Metal Gear franchise. I still love it, but I am not.
All about Death Stranding.
What's that?
All about Death Stranding.
No. I'm all about listening to you talk about that game. I don't want to touch it. I don't get it. No, it's a witch. Burn it. And then on February 22nd, not much to talk about, but something I'm going to buy is Pac-Man Champion Edition 2 is making its way to Switch. And
which is great.
I love Pac-Man Champion Edition. I'm glad that's awesome. I'm glad they're so throwing fun. This at Switch. It's a great idea.
Yeah, super fun.
Cool. Moving on to March, we get the Devil May Cry HD collection coming on March 13th.
Yay. Devil May Cry 1 and 3 are great.
Yeah. We talked about this, right?
Yeah. 2 is better than people make it out to be. It's still not great, but it's better than the flack that it gets.
Yeah, it's not a complete pile of shit. It's just not as good as the first one or the third one.
Yeah. I mean, the first one was so revolutionary and so, like...
It's just so awesome.
It was just
I haven't
so
played
good.
It in so long. I hope it has aged well, but I'd like to mess with this Metal Devil May Cry HD collection. I wish it was coming to Switch. I'm kind of surprised it isn't, considering where Capcom is right now. They're just like, oh, you mean it's about Street Fighter? We'll port everything to Switch. You bought Street Fighter 2 for $40. Like, a lot of you did that. We'll give you all the games.
More than one of you did that. You're getting Dragon's Dogma. Here it comes, motherfucker. Get ready.
God Hand, porting it to Switch. Remember Spyborgs? Making it for Switch.
Done. Sold.
But yeah, Devil May Cry HD collection. Good times. Right.
Good times. I'm sure it'll sell.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll sell fine. March 20th, Sea of Thieves. I got my fingers crossed for this one. I'm really rooting for this game.
It looks so bad.
It looks so nothing to me. And like, I heard people, like, when they showed it off at E3, like, wow, Sea of Thieves looks really cool. And I'm like, it does?
Because no, it doesn't.
I'm not seeing it. And I really want this game to be cool. Like, I have 0% chance of buying it. I can't imagine a time in my life where I'm going to own an Xbox One unless it's like in the distant, distant future. But,
and by then, the servers for this game will no longer be active.
Yeah. So then what's the point? Like, I don't know, man. But it's coming out. There's an Xbox One game that we're talking. It's coming out. Mm. Xbox One exclusive. If it actually comes out on March 20th. I mean, who the hell knows?
This is rare. March 20th, 2027.
Then on March 23rd, Ni No Kuni 2.
I'm super excited that this game is coming out for all the people that love Ni No Kuni.
Me too.
I love the way the game looks. I love the way the game moves and how it plays. I just don't have time for it.
I probably would have had time for it because this came out when there was like no games on Wii U, but I didn't have a PS4, so I didn't really mess with this. And now there's a sequel, and you know what? Exactly what you said. I'm really happy for all the people that this game that this appeals to, because it's one of those games that's not for me, but I'm just so happy it's out there. Good.
Yeah, me too.
Good times. MLB The Show 18. Any interest in that one?
No. I don't need that.
Well, bought 17.
So. I did, but it was only $10.
That is true. Yeah.
It was only $10, and what they've done now that's so great about it is that you can import your Road to the Show character and your franchises and all the different things that you're doing. You can import them into the next year's version. So like, you don't have to completely start over, which is awesome. You know, especially in a game like The Show, where you have this Road to the Show mode that is so fun, of, like, you start off in single-A baseball, and you create your character, and you, like, you work, and you train, and you get better, and you get better, and you get better, and then finally you get called up to the majors, and you play through, and you play through, and then the new game comes out, and you have to start all over again. This way you can actually play a whole long career and get to, like, where your created player retires, you know, just by importing it to the next year, which is awesome.
Hmm. Well, that is awesome.
Yay, forward-thinking sports game.
Indeed. All right. I lost my notes. Where'd they go? There they are. All right. So we finished March, and the last thing that we have a date for is... I'm sorry. I can't believe you suckers bought Street Fighter 2 for $40, the game. Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection coming out for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. We gushed about this a little bit on the show when it was announced, and I'm really, really excited about this game.
I am really excited about it.
I cannot wait to have Third Strike on the Switch just at all times. This is one of those games. I'm definitely getting this one digital because as much as I want the packaging and whatnot, right, I want this game with me at all times. I want to always be able to be playing Street Fighter, which is why I had considered getting the Ultra Street Fighter 2 on Switch a couple of times, but I just couldn't justify that price for just Street Fighter 2. And now I don't have to. Now I get all the Street Fighters.
Well, yeah, I mean, for $40, you get all the Street Fighters plus online modes for two, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Alpha 3, and Third Strike.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, like, what else do you need?
And the fact that it's got all the different flavors of the Street Fighters, you know? Like, it got all the Street Fighter 2s. So I haven't played, like, Double Impact in ages. And, like, it's basically...
Second Impact?
Second Impact, yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically pointless at this point because Third Strike is the definitive Street Fighter 3. Like, it's not even close.
Right.
But it's so fun to go back and be like, yeah, I remember this. I remember before they added Chun-Li and Akuma in this game. And, like, you know, playing Street Fighter 1 is just neat for the historical importance of it. Like, it's not
just
a good game.
Just to see where it's come from.
Exactly. It's so neat to see that, to have that there. I'm so glad they put that in this. And we talked about this game already, so...
Yeah, I mean, online Third Strike and online Alpha 3 is just the best idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, when they did online Third Strike on Xbox 360, I bought the hell out of that and played that game.
Of course.
And I got my ass beat online because I'm good at Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
But I'm not that good.
I'm not that good. Oh, man.
This is really why... I mean, like, I know you're not going to have a PS4 by January 26th, but you need to have one by May.
If I can. Because you're not buying this game on Switch.
No.
I am
playing this game on a pro controller. Nope.
What are you playing this game on?
I will play this on my PS4 Pro.
Controller?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
On my DualShock 4. I love that controller for fighting games. Always have.
I am hopeful that the pro controller will handle this well. I'm actually really interested specifically in Third Strike in the not D-pad that the Switch has. Because I've gotten pretty good at using that for, like, basic things, but I feel like the fact that it's four separate buttons is going to make parrying very, very interesting. Like, I feel like that's going to feel more natural. I don't know. Possibly. I'm really interested in seeing how Third Strike handles on the Switch in handheld mode. I can't believe this. I'm going to have a portable version of Third Strike.
I know.
That is awesome. An arcade perfect portable Third Strike. Ooh, love it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're on to the alphabetical stuff. Ace Combat 7. Got anything to say about this one?
I love the Ace Combat games. I'm not going to buy this one, but I love that they exist, and I know the hardcore Ace Combat people are so hardcore into this franchise, and for good reason. It's fantastic.
I
just don't have time for it with all the other shit that's coming out.
Yeah, I'm happy that there's somebody still pumping out flight simulators. Again, not for me, but it's a type of gaming that I understand the appeal of, and I'm glad it's coming.
Yep.
Beyond Good and Evil 2, do you think that's actually coming out this year?
No, not a chance. I don't think it's ever going to come out. I mean, I know it's announced, and I know we've seen stuff for it, but at this point, I won't believe it until I'm playing it.
I'm really was not a huge fan of what I saw of this one. Like, it looked cool, but it's not what I want. Like, I the first game ended on a damn cliffhanger. Don't go give me a prequel and stuff like that. Don't go rooting around in things. I want to know what happens to Paige. He looked at his hand. There was a, what were those things called? The DOMs or whatever? Like, whatever it was growing in his hand. I was like, Paige, I want to know what happens next. And I want that fantastic art style, not the creepy pseudo super realistic stuff they got going on. I don't know. Beyond Good and Evil 2 is, I love the first game. I really want the second one to be something truly special, but yeah, it's probably not coming out this year anyway.
Yeah.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. Fuck, that yes, game I'm stoked for.
God damn it. I hope this is good. I hope this is not a Mighty Number 9 situation. I will be crushed.
I can't imagine it'll be a Mighty Number 9 situation. I can't imagine it
will be, but I couldn't imagine that Mighty Number 9 would have been a Mighty Number 9 situation.
Yeah, but either. We saw the signs of that. Like, we saw that coming. When Mighty Number 9 was announced, we were like, yes, awesome. And then we started seeing bits of the game, and we were like, and then we started seeing, oh, now I'm busting up another Kickstarter for the Mega Man Legends offshoot, and we're doing an animated series, and t-shirts, and prom dresses, and and you could see that happening, and I was watching it crash and burn, still hoping that it was going to come out solid, and it just freaking didn't. Side note, they released a demo for Mighty Gunvolt Burst, which, holy crap, that game's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Did you download that?
Mighty Gunvolt's
great. Was that?
I haven't downloaded this new one, but the Mighty Gunvolt stuff is awesome.
Mighty Gunvolt Burst is that's the crossover between Mighty Number 9 and Azure Striker Gunvolt.
Yeah, Striker. Sorry.
Yeah. Well,
I've been drinking.
It's freaking good, dude. There's a free demo on Switch. Download it. You'll be thrilled.
All right.
Like, cool. I'm really considering buying the full game because it's great. It's like, oh wow, if Mighty Number 9 was like this, I probably would have been kind of happy with it. I still wish it looked like its original concept art and was actually a fun game to play, but this one is really good. It's legit good, and it's cool. I'm glad to see Beck, because that was a great character design. It was the world they invented, but whatever.
Yeah. Bloodstained. What I like about Bloodstained is that Igarashi came out and said, we're delaying it. Like, don't expect it this year.
Yeah, he said, this is why. We're delaying it, because I want it to be good. I'm like, good. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
It needs time.
That's why this isn't going to be that. And
I
like,
really hope.
The three games that you could look at like this, like you had, Mighty Number 9, Bloodstained, and Yooka-Laylee were those three Kickstarter things where the original developers were like, you know what? We want to make this new game. Nobody wants to make a new game, so we're just going to do it ourselves. And Mighty Number 9 was a disaster.
Yep.
Yooka-Laylee's heart is in the right place. There's no denying that. For all of its flaws, there is no denying that that game is a spiritual successor to the Banjo-Kazooie games. There's no denying it. It's got just the right heart. Bloodstained really looks like 2D Castlevania, and it looks like a proper evolution of that. I'm really excited about this game. I can't wait till it comes out this year. I'm so glad they took it off of Wii U and put it on Switch.
Yeah.
Smart move, guys.
No, I'm super excited about that.
We talked a little bit about this one, too. Bridge Constructor Portal was announced. Oh, yeah, we did the news episode. That's where all this stuff came from about. Bridge Constructor Portal, we did just talk about it. It's technically a new Portal game, so I'm sold.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's out on PC, or it's out on Steam or something now or soon. But it's not coming out till later on consoles. And I'm in. I'm sold. It says Portal on it, and I'm buying it. So
it's not Portal 3, though.
No, it's not. We'll probably get Portal 3 the same time we get Half-Life 3.
Oh, well, okay.
Portal 3 needs to happen, goddammit, and it needs to be on the moon.
It really, this is fucked up that it has not happened yet.
And you know what? I know it's never going to happen because, I guess I can't say it's never going to happen because this game's coming out on Switch, but really, I want Portal 1 and 2 ported to Switch. I really want those games, like, on a console that I have that's modern. I don't want to have to keep firing up my Xbox 360 to play Portal 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Those games should be on all platforms in perpetuity.
They really should.
They should.
They really should.
About as flawless as games could be. Make it happen. Put those games on Switch for me, please. Thank you. Good night.
I'm on it.
Thank you. Crackdown 3 might come out this
year. I didn't get it when the first Crackdown games were out.
I didn't either, but people seem to really like them.
Yeah, I don't... There's a couple franchises that I never really understood the huge draw to. Like, Crackdown's one of them. Far Cry is another one. I just don't get it.
Same here.
You know, it doesn't really speak to me. Like, Max Payne, like, it was good, but, like...
I played that in your college dorm, actually.
Yeah.
Max Payne. And,
it was fun.
Yeah, it was, like, fun.
Yeah. Like, I am as excited about Crackdown 3 as I would be a new Max Payne game.
But the thing about Crackdown 3 is the reason I'm rooting for it is because, one, I know people really like it who really like Crackdown, and two, it's another Xbox One exclusive, and I'm just like, go get them, guys.
Yeah, I want them to do well. I do.
I do, because I want to see Microsoft have an ecosystem that's their own, the way that Sony and Nintendo seem to have, you know? Like, the Switch and PlayStation both have just incredible game lineups. There's just no getting around it. They've both got the things that speak to their audiences, and I really want to see the Xbox carve out its own niche of an audience. And
I
feel like most of what it has is, like, this is PC gamers, or it's also on PlayStation.
Yeah. I do want to see them crash and burn, though, so that I can play Cuphead on my PlayStation.
Yes. That would be delightful. That's what I want. So Days Gone. What's Days Gone?
Days Gone is a post-apocalyptic zombie looking thing, but it actually looks somewhat interesting. They showed some really cool gameplay from it. I think we talked about it before, but, like, the mission that was being played out was you were going to rescue a member of your gang, and in order to distract the rival gang, like, the character went up and, like, I think, like, blew up a fence, or, like, knocked down a wall or whatever that was, like, holding back the zombie horde, and, like, the horde came out and, like, overran this camp. So amidst the chaos, you went up and, like, rescued a member of your gang and whatnot. So it looked more like using zombies as a tool and as a storytelling device, as opposed to the like, main threat in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it just looks really cool. This is not something that I'm going to buy day one, but, like, if it's ever a $20 game, like, on sale, I'll probably pick it up.
Okay, I recognize this game now.
I don't think it's going to be as big as they're hoping for it to be.
Probably not, but it does look neat.
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool. It has some cool ideas, I think, so...
Hooray. Mm-hmm. Death Stranding.
I'm buying it. I mean, like, I don't know what the hell it is, but I'm buying it.
All right. Detroit Become Human.
Not a game you're into.
No. Yeah, another one we talked about a little bit, and just, this game's not doing it for me.
I don't know. There's some really cool ideas in it. I like this style of gameplay, too. Like, it's fun
This is the David Cage joint, is it?
Yeah.
Quantic Dream. Yeah, no, I am out.
Yeah, I like these games. But these are very much games where it's like, if you're on the fence about this, it's not for you.
Unless there's a Jason button. Jason!
Jason!
Jason?
There might be a Jason button.
I want to wake up and shave with my DualShock.
Shut up. It's immersive.
Immersive my ass. Donut County. You brought this up last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I couldn't even fucking remember the name of it because I was so tired by the end of that show.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's a game where you're a hole and you have to go around and, like, swallow things to make yourself a bigger hole. There I'm was, in. I'm 100% oh my God, I just, in.
I what was the all right, the official description of it is hilarious. So where is it?
Have who's devouring
Donut
like
County? Play as a mysterious growing hole in this physics adventure game coming in 2018 to Mac, PC, iOS, and more.
Like, have you watched video of this game?
I haven't.
Oh my God, it looks incredible.
What I was doing was I was flipping through all the games coming out next that were announced for next year, and I saw the name of this. I was like, okay, this has to be what Dan's talking about.
Yeah, it totally was. Like,
is there a reveal trailer? This is a.
It's got a very similar feeling to me of like the magic that Katamari had in Mr. Mosquito, and it's got a really cool little art style to it.
It looks very like nice.
A minimalist kind of thing. Like, it just looks fucking awesome.
There is a mysterious hole. There's a raccoon doing science.
Yeah. And you just, like, you go around and, like, you suck shit into the hole, and you get to be a bigger hole, and it looks fucking awesome. I'm really excited about this game.
You just ate the raccoon.
Yeah. Fuck that raccoon.
This looks amazing.
Right?
I'm so sold on this.
It feels very similar to me, like, just looking at it, the same sort of magic that Katamari had.
Yeah. Wow.
Of like, this is ridiculous, and I don't know why this works, but it totally fucking works.
Boy, I hope Switch is one of the and more. Because
I think it is.
I hope it is.
It just looks awesome. It just looks so fun.
Yeah, the only announced platforms so far are Windows, OS X, iOS, and PS4.
Mm. Yeah, I'm in. I'm sold.
Yeah, me too. That's awesome.
What a weird looking little game.
Speaking of weird, Dreams?
Depending on the price, I'm sold.
That's true.
Yeah, Dreams, man.
I'm out. No, thank you.
I want to love Media Molecule, and I love their chutzpah. Man, I don't know about this one.
Me neither. I was it not impressed at E3.
I'm fascinated by it.
Sure.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if I understand it. But it's a thing.
That's a thing. You know what else is a thing? Fe.
What is this one now? I think I'm excited about this one.
I'm trying to remember if this is the game that I think it is. Zoink is the company. I believe Zoink, that what's interesting about this is that Zoink was, where are they? Let's see. This guy, it's got a guy from Shiny Entertainment involved.
Right. Oh, this is the EA one.
The EA one, yeah.
Yeah.
There was some company, there is a game coming out on Switch that Sony is technically publishing, and I don't think this is it, but I know that's some sort of weird thing, but so fe.
It looks cool.
I want somebody to tell me how to pronounce this game.
Looks
that's
like a
what
little
I
platformer.
Want. Yeah, like it looks cool looks neat.
Character.
I don't know why I keep hearing about this though.
Because it's the same thing that like Unravel or Unwind or whatever that other EA game, because it's EA and they're publishing like a fucking like indie game.
Well, bully for them.
Yeah.
All right, EA is on my shit list. It looks neat, I guess. I'm looking for some actual gameplay here, though, and I want somebody to tell me how to pronounce this game. I don't want to keep saying "fit." Fit. Oh, he's riding a little deer and stuff. Yeah, all right.
Oh, that looks cool.
Okay, cool. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy it.
Let's move on. Final Fantasy VII Remake? Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it.
Yes. I wanted bad, though.
There it is. I forgot all about this. Fire Emblem. Face. Next, not for us. Neither of us are huge fans, but this has, in the last 5-6 years, become one of Nintendo's tentpole franchises. Fire Emblem
really has. I don't get it.
I don't. I get it. It's just not for me. Like, I don't dig these kinds of strategy RPGs. I think it's weird that this game has gotten so big.
That's what I don't get. Yeah. I like strategy RPGs. I don't understand why this game has gotten as big as it has.
But the next mainline Fire Emblem is coming out on Switch and is apparently coming out in 2018. So there's one of your... If they crank out Fire Emblem and Smash Brothers, that's their Mario and Zelda for this year, you know?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
As those are two humongous games for the platform. That might be enough. I don't know. I'm sure they're going to make some sort of big announcement about that. I'm sure we're going to hear more about it, and it's going to giant and whatnot. So, what in the world is Ghosts of Tsushima?
Ghosts of Tsushima is the new Sucker Punch game that is PlayStation exclusive.
Oh, cool.
It is set in feudal Japan in a time of like samurais and shit.
Oh, Sucker Punch. I'm confusing the drink box. What's Sucker Punch?
Sucker Punch is a Sly Cooper.
Sly Cooper. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Dude, I don't know that I've seen a game that looks more gorgeous than this one.
Clearly, you've never played Ghostbusters for NES.
No, that's true. It's true. That is a very, very stunning game. No, this game just looks absolutely stunning. Just absolutely incredible. I am sure, 100% sure, that there is a deeper story going on than what we've just seen in the trailers. I know that there's more to this. Kind of in the same way that Horizon had like this whole other thing that happened once you actually got the game. Mm-hmm. But it just looks so fucking stunning. I mean,
All right, so we're basically going to skip the next two because we've talked about them ad nauseum on the show. They both look amazing. God of War, Guacamelee 2.
Come on.
Hooray for both of them. Big, fat, hairy hoorays for both of those.
Yep, day one purchases without question.
Last one.
Just real quick, going back, Ghost of Tsushima has the potential to be like one of those sleeper games of the year where everybody like is like, oh, Sucker Punch makes good shit. And much like Horizon in 2017, where it's like, yeah, Guerrilla Games, like they made like Killzone and that was good, you know, and then Horizon came out and everybody's like, oh my God, you know, people like the Sly Cooper games. They're well regarded. They have a big enough fan base. I am a big fan of the Sly Cooper games. But this has the potential to come out and just be like one of those market changers. Huh? Get a PS4, Chris.
All right, one last one before the break. What the hell's Indivisible?
Oh yeah, this looked like a dungeon crawler anime style. Really cool graphics. It looked really cool.
Huh. PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. All right, neat. Yeah. Indivisible. Keep your eyes peeled for
that. Yeah, I threw this
on
here because it was a Switch game. Huh. The art looks really good.
It does.
It looks... it kind of has, like, Steven Universe qualities to it.
Okay.
And I mean that as a compliment. Yeah, I'm into it.
All right. Cool. Well, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the games coming out this year between the letters K and Y, because there are no Zs. Wow, that's right. KY, good for me. We're listening to the Stone Age Gaming Podcast from geekade.com. Stick around.
And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, t-shirts. We all wear them. We all love them. I'm wearing a Kenny Omega shirt right now. Their inconsistent sizing may be frustrating, but is there anything better in life than the right t-shirt? I submit to you that there is not. Did you know, though, Chris, that for wrestling fans in the 90s, good t-shirts were few and far between. In fact, if you were a wrestling fan back in the day who wanted to wear their WWF pride proudly emblazoned across their chest, you were all but guaranteed to look like an asshat. Thankfully, times have changed, and Geekade's very own me is going to explain to you how. don't miss Why I Love Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Beat.
I didn't miss it. In fact, I edited it and posted it, and it was very interesting.
Right. Let's be honest. I'm just trying to get a free T-shirt.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, well.
Then, did you hear on this very podcast, Mega Man is back later this year, I mean.
I did. You told me.
I did. Jonathan Fugger here, too, and he has a long history with the Blue Bomber, including his many hours attempting to beat whatever that Mega Man was at the Pain in the Ass-a-thon this year, which is on our YouTube channel. Check it out. Mm-hmm. And his timely return has his head filled with promises of multicolored robots shooting lemons at semi-sentient traffic cones, toe-tapping music, and no more bad jokes about prom dresses. Check out what Capcom's flagship franchise means to Jonathan in Make Mega Man Mega Again, located in the Think Tank.
That's two prom dress references this episode, Chris. You're on a roll.
You know, that Mighty No. 9 commercial was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
It was. Finally, Tales from the Crypt is one of those TV shows that a lot of fans hold in very high regard, and as such, Geekade's resident horror expert, Alex Azar, started a recap series all about this brief show. Unfortunately, season one was, well, different kind of horror. But, just in time for the new year, Alex has moved on to season two. Do things get better?
Yes.
Does the Crypt Keeper's cult status become justified?
Yes.
Do Demi Moore and Jeffrey Tambor in a fat suit make for the ultimate Hollywood power couple?
No.
Find out in Rising from the Crypt, Dead Right.
You can catch all this quote-unquote great stuff. I shouldn't be making Jeffrey Tambor jokes. I really shouldn't.
No, you really
but you can catch all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com.
What has Jeffrey Tambor done that's important?
Okay, now we're back. Let's jump right in. Let's start with the letter K, and a game that I don't think is coming out this year, but is scheduled to, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot more screenshots and videos coming out, like leaked shit, you know?
That's true. I'm sure they're mostly done with it, but you know what? I think they're just going to finish the game and be like, nah, we'll put it on PS5. They probably finished this on PS3. Game was probably done, and they're like, you know what? We can do better.
let's win. We're gonna put this on the Switch DS.
Yeah. Start porting it to Commodore 64. This is a terrible idea.
Why would we go backward? God, what were we thinking?
There's a giant Lone Ranger world in it. Like, wow, we miscalculated this. We got to take this out.
It's a Lone Ranger world and a MASH world for some reason because Disney bought MASH. Corporal Klinger. Oh, God, the kids these days, they just don't get the MASH reference.
We also have Kirby Star Allies coming out for Switch.
Uh-huh.
That's another, I mean, it's one of their B levels. It's not a C level, but it's a B level.
I just don't. Kirby.
I love Kirby games. And I haven't played one in so long. I'm going to pick this one up.
What is this one like? Is this one, like, is there a weird gimmick to this one? Like,
nope, traditional platformer.
No? Okay.
I think there's something. He always has some sort of new power, mm-hmm. but it's not like, you know, the Canvas Curse or something like that, or Pinball Land. It's, you know, Kirby platformer, and then I think you can, like, stack each other up, or did they use that in another game? I don't remember. Looks neat. I'm in. Yeah. I haven't played Kirby in a while. I like Kirby games. Yay.
Yay.
Last of Us 2. I feel like we've talked about this one on the show a lot.
We have. God, what a year for PlayStation, though.
Yeah, PlayStation's looking like it's going to have a good 2018.
Jesus Christ. God of War, Last of Us 2, Ghost of Tsushima, some stuff that we haven't even talked about yet. Death Stranding.
If you are a PlayStation fan, it is going to be a good year to have a PlayStation.
My goodness.
And I mean, even without knowing what the big tentpoles are, it's looking like a pretty decent year for Switch. And there are supposedly games coming out on Xbox One as well.
And that is a system that also exists.
You can play games on your Xbox One. I'm sure of it.
Positive.
I'm like 89% sure. we have Lost Sphere coming out. I think that's actually pretty soon, but I don't know what the release date is. It's a spiritual follow-up to I Am Setsuna, another game I did not play. I heard people compare I Am Setsuna to Chrono Trigger.
Is that the Ninja Theory game? The guys who made...
I don't think so. It's a Square thing.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. I didn't play it.
Lost Sphere. I think it's got a cool name. S-P-H-E-A-R.
There we go. Sorry, that was going to bother me.
Oh, there you go.
I thought that two made that, but they made a difference.
We've also got Mega Man 11 coming out, which we did talk about quite profusely.
We don't know enough
about it, but it's Mega Man 11. I'm buying it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Speaking of things I'm buying, Mega Man Legacy Collections 1 and 2 are both coming to Switch. Again, that ain't a big tentpole, but you know what that's going to do is keep me busy for a long time, because I'm going to replay every single one of those games.
How is that going to control with the clickable D-pad?
Oh, with the little four buttons?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how well that thing works. Like, it's not great. Like, play it with a pro controller, obviously. Yeah. But, on a handheld mode, I played through most of Blaster Master with that, and it wasn't a problem, and it should have been, but that thing works surprisingly well. Like, I can play Shovel Knight with that.
It's my biggest complaint about the system so far.
I can't believe they haven't released a Joy-Con with one of those with a D-pad on it. I cannot believe they haven't given us that option.
Yeah.
That's money in the bank, Nintendo.
It really is.
Especially by the time Mega Man comes out. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be fine, because a lot of Mega Man, you're not doing a lot of, Street Fighter style movements in Mega Man games. You're just switching back and forth.
It just feels weird.
It does feel weird. And again, it takes a little, something like Blaster Master, the 2D segments were great, but the top down stuff was where I started to have some problems with it. Not much, but some.
Yeah.
But there's none of that in Mega Man. There's very rarely an opportunity for a diagonal. So yeah.
There are all those top down segments in Mega Man.
Yes, there are. No, there aren't. I love Mega Man 7. All right, so then we get Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom, something coming out sometime this year.
With featuring friend of the show, Banjo-Guy Ollie.
That's right. He is an otter, I believe. One of the early villages. He looks awesome. And they're redoing so much of this game with hand-drawn animation.
Yeah, I'm way into this game. I'm very excited.
I was into this game before they announced the change in the art direction. Yeah. And now I'm like, I can't wait. I cannot wait to play this game. I'm all about this. And the other one, I feel like I will be if I ever get around to playing the demo. The next game on the list is Project Octopath Traveler.
It's a horrible name.
Yeah, please change the name of this.
It's terrible.
But you know what? They released Bravely Default as Bravely Default, so anything's possible.
Bravely Default is a better name than Project Octopath Traveler.
That is true. I mean, they'll probably drop the project.
People are just
going to
call this game POT, and that's dumb.
Yeah. Well, they'll probably drop the project and just call it Octopath Traveler. Even then, not a great name.
Then people are going to call this game OT, and that's even worse.
OT?
OT. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This game looks really cool.
It does look
cool. I love
the
art direction in this, and I still can't believe I haven't bothered to play the demo for this yet. I think it's I'm just too busy playing all these other things, and I don't want to get into something that's going to suck me in.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do really want to try this game. It's been a long time since I've played a proper RPG, and I think this might be it. Psychonauts 2 is another one that we're both very excited to exist. Obviously, Dan way more than I am, because not that I have anything against Psychonauts, but Dan loves Psychonauts.
Cannot wait. There is no possible way that this game lives up to my expectations. There's just, I know that going into it, that there's no way it will hit the lofty goals that I have already set in my mind. It's still going to be fantastic.
You never know, Dan. This game could be better than you're imagining.
I can't imagine it could be, but Tim Schafer is a unicorn special person. I love him so much.
Tim Schafer is a unicorn special person. You said it. Let's see. Moving on to the letter R, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Woohoo.
Yep.
There's another one. I don't get it.
Oh, I get this game. Especially after playing Zelda, I get this. I didn't play the first Red Dead Redemption. I have it, but I didn't play it because I looked at it as another one of those things, I'm just never going to have time for it. And But after playing Zelda, like an open world game of some sort of serious caliber that's Western, like a Western cowboy open world thing, I get it. It's not for me. I'm not excited for this game. They could announce it for Switch tomorrow and I still wouldn't buy it. It just, it's just not for me, but I get the draw. Like an open world cowboy thing, that's cool, man. That's cool.
Do you remember that Red Dead Revolver started as a Capcom game?
I do remember that. I reviewed that game.
Yeah.
I was, when I was in that EGM writing contest, I wrote a review for Red Dead Revolver, and it was a thing.
Capcom game.
It was kind of a neat game, too. It wasn't bad.
Picked up by Rockstar,
I didn't hate it. I remember very little about it, but...
Yeah.
We also have Runner 3. Now, this is a game that I am very excited for. Runner is just a huge thing for me, and I adored the first two Runner games. And I can't... everything I've seen in Runner 3 is... It looks super cool. And
I wonder how it's going to play on the small screen.
Oh, I'm sure it's fine. I played through Runner 1 on 3DS for crying out loud. So.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'm sure it's going to... This doesn't look like anything that's going to be some sort of problem. I mean, it's an endless runner, and those are all over cell phones, so I'm sure.
No, I know. I just mean the scale of it on, because most endless runners on cell phones though are like top down.
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
I can't foresee it being much of an issue. I mean, the Switch screen is gorgeous, and if I can play Doom on that, I can't imagine Runner 3 really being a problem. But no, it looks great. It looks weird. But there were like things about the trailer that kind of left me uneasy. And then I watched a gameplay video of it and I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this game.
As well
I should be. Shenmue 3 is coming out. I lost all interest in this game after I found out Sony was like paying for it.
Yeah.
I was so excited when they're like, Shenmue 3 Kickstarter. I'm like, yeah, I'll kick in for that. I don't even care. I just want this game to come out. And then they were like, well, the game's funded. It was funded anyway because Sony's going to publish it, but thanks for all the money. I'm like, damn.
Thanks for your hard-earned dollars.
Screw you guys.
I mean, I'm excited that it's coming out.
Me too.
Shenmue was never something that I got into, but I know people who swear by this franchise, and it is.
I really wanted to get into it. I bought the first game and was like, I can't, no, this isn't clicking for me. Something's not right here. But I know my buddy Mauricio is really excited about this because he's one of those people that beat the first two games. Just like, I just want to know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't even matter if this game's good. You just want to know how it ends. So yay for the Shenmue fans that have been waiting. You're going to get your conclusion. Huzzah. Soul Calibur 6, we already talked about on the show plenty. Looks cool. Fingers
again,
crossed it comes out on Switch.
You need a PS4. We need to play fucking fighting games against each other, Chris.
We really do.
It really needs to happen. Get on it. Talk to
But
Karen.
Like, that's the thing. If there's games, that's the real problem here, is if there's games coming out on, like, say I had a PS4, and a game is coming out on PS4 and Switch, chances are I'm going to want it on Switch so that I can play it not tethered to my television.
Yeah, but
yeah, but playing it against, there needs to be cross-platform. Sony needs to lighten up on that.
They really do.
They do.
That is my biggest complaint with Sony. They really
lighten up on that shit. I could be playing Rocket League against you right now.
I know,
but no. Sony's like, nah, screw
Bunch
that noise.
Assholes.
Another one, Spider-Ban. It's bad. No more spiders.
No more fucking spiders. You just walk around slapping up stickers around fucking cobwebs. Spiders that way.
How dare you? Spider-Man is coming out for PS4. Game looks super cool.
God,
again,
so
we've talked
about
it
this one too.
A ton, so not really a lot to say here. Super Meat Boy is coming out on Switch. Mm-hmm. That actually, I think, has a release date. They announced the release date like after I wrote these show notes.
Right.
It's super soon. It's in like a week. And I'm buying it again. Bought it on Xbox 360. I bought it on Wii U. I'll buy it again on Switch.
I would not pay for that game again. I did like it. It is very fun. It's not something that I would pay for. I might pay for Super Meat Boy for forever.
I will definitely pay for Super Meat Boy forever. I have never finished Super Meat Boy, and I want to, and I feel like Switch is going to do it. I'm finally going to beat that game on Switch. I'm going to freaking do it. I wish I could transfer my damn save file so that I don't have to play all the levels I've already played again.
Yeah, that's rough.
But I'm not, like, I really want to finish that game, and I'm not turning on my Xbox 360 for it, because all the batteries in my wireless controllers, the rechargeables, are, like, dead. Like, they've all, like, expanded, and they just don't freaking work. And I hate using the wired controller on the Xbox 360. Yeah, and I just don't really enjoy playing my Wii U that much anymore.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
So, yeah, I want to finish Super Meat Boy. It's coming out on Switch. I'm game. I don't care how much it is. I'm buying it. Actually, I think it's only, like, $13 or something. So, yeah, I'm sold. Super Meat Boy Forever, another one's coming out this year. An interesting direction for Super Meat Boy. It's like a runner kind of thing.
Yeah.
It looks cool. I'm down.
I mean, you can't just do more levels of Super Meat Boy.
No, you'd have to do something proper if you were going to do a sequel to it. You'd have to do something unique, and I'm glad they're going this route. I think it's pretty cool, and I'm excited about it. Looks good. Oh, and this one. This is such a wonderful story. Toe Jam and Earl back in the groove.
Yes.
I'm sure we've talked about this on the show, probably not in a long time.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked about it in quite a while.
If you don't know the story behind this, this is the creators of Toe Jam and Earl have wanted to make this sequel since the first game. And after the first game was a moderate success, Sega wanted them to make a sequel, and they were like, all right, we got this idea. And they're like, it needs to be a 2D platformer. And they're like,
and they were like, what the?
All right, no. Cool, let's do that. And then they get around to the Xbox, and like, all right, Toe Jam and Earl, and like, it needs to be a 3D, this kind of thing. And they're like, okay, fine.
All right.
Now they get to make the game that they've always wanted to make, and it looks awesome.
And it's being published by Adult Swim Games.
Yeah, which is great.
Which seems perfect.
It does seem perfect. They did that Chef game. Oh, God, I keep forgetting about that game. That game's supposed to be really cool.
Adult Swim puts out good stuff. Fucking really Robot did. Unicorn Attack? It's amazing. No, so this new Toe Jam and Earl looks insanely good.
It really is an evolution of the original Toe Jam and Earl, which is far and away the best Toe Jam and Earl game.
Oh, it's not even close.
It's got great personality. All the character designs look great. The art direction looks great. It just looks like fun. I cannot wait to play this game. And Karen is a legit huge Toe Jam and Earl fan. Like,
that's awesome.
She loves the original game. She's never played any of the other sequels. I don't blame her. But she didn't have a lot of games when she was a kid, but she had a Genesis, and her sister played the crap out of Toe Jam and Earl. I have watched her and her sister play this game for literally hours at my house. In our old apartment, they came over for some reason, and like me and my brother-in-law are watching the kids because the two of them won't stop playing Toe Jam and Earl in the living room. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
This is one I'm so stoked is coming to Switch. It's something that Karen and I are going to play together, and I'm so glad this game exists.
It looks fantastic. I am very, very excited about this.
Another game to be super excited about, No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again. There's a friggin' No More Heroes game coming out this year. I forgot all about that.
That is awesome.
Jeez, there are good games coming out this year.
It's going to be a ridiculous year, again.
It really is. Wargroove is coming out. That's a game that I am not interested in, but it's supposed to be like Advance Wars.
Yep.
So the fans Sold. Of Advance Wars are super excited about this. This is Switch and PS4, I think.
I thought it was just Switch. Maybe I'm wrong.
It was promoted more heavily on Switch, but I think it's also multi-platform. Yeah. Oh no, Switch and Xbox One, no PlayStation.
Yeah. No. This is
so just
definitely
Switch.
Definitely one of the ones that I will be buying on Switch. Yeah, just Switch. It looks really cool. It looks like it looks like Advance Wars, but like with knights and shit.
Yeah, and it's got some sort of light rhythm game elements to it. It's supposed to be really good music. So
yeah, I'm into it.
Cool.
This looks really fucking cool.
I'll tell you what I'm into. Wattem.
Yeah, this game looks bananas. Because how could it not? It's from
the creators of Katamari.
Keita Takahashi.
So you want to know what the what the people from Katamari are doing? They're doing Wotham, which
what even is this? What do you even do?
I'm buying it. Yeah, I mean, if I had a PS4, I'd be buying it.
Yeah, like I am going to get it because I don't know that there's been any game that has brought me more joy than the original Katamari.
It's really one of those amazing experiences, the original Katamari. So, I mean, all right. So I'm watching the trailer for it right now. I'm watching this trailer around E3. There's like, you're a box and you climbed up on these other guys. Now you're making it rain and a flower grew. I believe he's holding hands with a giant donut. Then everybody exploded. I think that thing's got bacon on its head. A pile of poop just said hello. And now they're having a dance party. I don't know what this game's about.
I'm in.
All they had to say was creator of Katamari, and I am sold. That's all I need to hear.
That dude gets my money sight unseen. Like, I don't have to know anything about it. It's like, oh, Takahashi made it. Sold.
What else did he do? I feel like there was another game that he did.
There was. Oh, God. What
Nobi,
was
Nobi 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 Boy?
Nobi
was
Nobi Boy. Nobi Nobi Boy.
What was that like?
Very weird. Like, you stretched. You just got really long. Like, forever. And there was actually something, like, a couple years ago where, like, people finally stretched as far as you could go. Like, it was just this very strange game. But, all right, so here, I'm looking at this thing right here. It says, advancing the narrative of Wotham is very simple. You merely have to get a group of characters to hold hands, then blow them up with the mayor's trademark bomb on his head. That's just the busy work, though. The fun comes from experimenting with the different characters who you can switch between at the touch of a button. It looks like you're going to make ridiculous conga lines and, like, stack each other on your heads, and I
look forward to hearing you talk about this game.
One more reason to get a PS4?
I've got plenty of reasons to get a PS4.
This might be the best reason.
It might be. I remember you guys talking about how excited about Wolf Among Us you were. Wolf Among Us 2 is happening.
It is really, really great. The Fables comic book series was really awesome, and I like the Telltale games. I am not a huge devotee of theirs.
A couple of those came out on Switch, didn't they? Didn't the Batman one came out?
It might have. I don't know. That was just free for PS Plus this month, so I'm going to jump into that one. And just, you know, kind of check it out and see how it goes. Like, some of the Telltale games have been really great. Like, the Walking Dead ones have been really, really awesome. I really liked the Back to the Future and the Jurassic Park ones. The, Game of Thrones one was kind of a letdown a little bit, I felt. But Wolf Among Us was awesome. It had a really cool art style for them. It was a little different from what they typically do. And it's just a really cool story. Hmm. So, I'm in.
What else did they do? I know they did a car. Oh, Minecraft Story Mode. They did that. Mm-hmm. Batman Telltale Series and Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale Series. Those three are on Switch. Huh.
Story Mode is cool. Minecraft Story Mode. That's fun.
I'd be interested in the Batman one. I like Batman.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'm probably gonna dive into it this weekend a little bit.
We're just about done here. So Wolfenstein 2 New Colossus is coming out on Switch sometime this year. I've heard nothing but great things about that game, and normally I wouldn't have been interested, but Doom was so damn good, I'm probably gonna give this a try.
People love it. People love the new Wolfenstein reboots.
And you know what? I heard that there's no multiplayer. Like, they didn't really mess with that. They said, no, we just want to make a good single-player game. And if it plays as good as Doom and has a super cool story, I'm very interested in trying this. I didn't think that I would see the day, but this is a game that I am genuinely interested in playing on Switch. I hope it doesn't come out too much later. Like, I hope it's relatively soon. But, no, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And then the last one, Yoshi. Don't know much about it. Looks to be a sequel to Yoshi's Woolly World. I believe
it's from the same... cardboard looking one.
Yeah, it's the cardboard looking one.
Yeah. This one looked cute.
Looks super cool. I thought Yoshi's Woolly World was great. It was a really, really good game. So it seems to be from the same developer, I'm pretty sure. Goodfield Games. She Switch.
I don't know. It is going to be in my house.
That's probably true.
Did
they get Woolly World?
What's that?
Did they get Woolly World?
No. We never got Woolly World because they were very frustrated by holding the Wii U because they're still young, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, you didn't get the Pro controllers for Wii U?
No.
Oh, okay. Those are really good controllers.
I'm sure they were. It just wasn't worth the investment.
Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm going to get the Pro controller or how soon I'm going to get a Pro controller for the Switch.
I'd wait just a little bit longer because what I heard was that they actually fixed that D-pad issue that I had. But the only ones that have it so far are the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 ones. So if they've actually fixed the D-pad problem, that means that at a certain point, it will be genuinely safe to get that controller. And I cannot recommend it enough. It is one of if that D-pad problem is fixed, then it's the best controller I've ever held. It's so great.
I may actually get the wired one for it.
Yeah, I heard Dean talking about that, but I can't do wired controllers.
I don't want to, but the fact that the system is portable eliminates a lot of my concern for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
Because, like, I can just sit the system on my lap and
have but the where controller does it plug in?
Into the USB port, I thought.
Oh, if it's the USB-C port, that's on the bottom of it. Then you can't kickstand it.
Well, yeah, but if it's just sitting on my lap, but... You know, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's workarounds for it and whatnot. But, I mean, it's got an 8-foot... it's just... The Pro controller is so prohibitively expensive.
It is a spicy controller, and I have two of those things.
It's insanely expensive.
But it's a damn good controller.
It's fucking $80, though.
It is. It's a lot of money for a controller.
Like, a PS4 DualShock 4 is $60. And that's insane. That's already crazy.
You know what? I used to feel that way, and then I realized how much technology is in a DualShock 4, and I was like, you know what? I know original PlayStation controllers used to be $20, but that's because they were like a handful of buttons and some plastic. These things have all kinds of shit in them now.
I don't care, though. And I know I should.
Like, that's a you problem, Dan.
No, I know, but I don't give a fuck. That's way too much money for a controller. When your controller is $20 more than your games, I feel like you've made a mistake.
I see that perspective, but given how much I've used them, I've gotten my money's worth out of them, and they're damn nice controllers, and I've barely had to charge them. The battery life on these things is insanity.
I'm sure it is. But looking at
it is too much. They are too expensive. I agree with you.
Just full stop. They are too expensive. Yeah. If it was $60, I would not have a problem with it. But it being $20 more than the DualShock 4,
it's
screwy.
That's
crazy to me.
And I understand the reasoning behind it. I don't think they should be, especially with the faulty D-pads. But I use those things all the time. We're talking about something I use every day. I use those controllers more than I use individual games because I use those controllers on every game. So
sure.
It has been a worthy investment for me. I've spent a lot of money on my Switch and I regret none of it. The only money I've spent on Switch that I regret is Stardew Valley because I bought that game and I just didn't get into it. And that's the only thing that's come up that I've been.
Right. And not because it's a bad game. It's just not
it's
for
just
you.
Not didn't connect with me. So Yoshi looks really cool. it is, in fact, from Goodfield Games, which means I have a good feeling about it because they did the only successor to Yoshi's Island Super Nintendo that was worthy of being a successor to that. So, sorry. A lot of cool mechanics going in this, and I can't wait to hear more about it. So that's going to be another relatively big game for them this year. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at it right now, and the Hori The HoryPad wired controller, and I know it's wired, but right now on Amazon, it is $20.
Dean really likes this controller.
I can't see the wireless controller really being that much better for what I'm going to use it for. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, like, it is one of those to each their own situations. I'm still holding out hope that we're going to get a Joy-Con with a D-pad on it.
That would make me super happy. I would be super into that.
Be so into that. And I would almost never use the other one.
So far.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I can use those four buttons as a D-pad, but sure. I feel like using a D-pad as four buttons is a more useful switch for me. 100%. And I get why they did it that way, because for most non-people like me, it goes the other way. Like, being able to hold it and have an analog stick and four discernible buttons, that makes sense. But for me, give me that D-pad.
Yeah.
Well, we did it, Dan. That is our 2018 preview, and I don't know
and
about
not
you.
Super long.
Wasn't as long as the other episode.
No.
And my wallet's going to be pretty empty this year.
Dude, I mean,
this is the shit we know about.
I know. I feel really bad for Xbox gamers. I really do. Like, going into this year, looking at exclusives for the Xbox, they are just not at all where the other two consoles are.
And that sucks. If they didn't have all the multi-platform stuff, which really, what on here is multi-platform that they're getting? They're getting FighterZ. They don't get Street Fighter. They're not getting Shadow of the Colossus. They're not getting Bayonetta. Not getting Secret of Mana. They get Metal Gear Survive, which, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Probably getting the Devil May Cry collection. They're not getting MLB The Show. They're not getting Ni No Kuni. They've got Sea of Thieves.
They're not getting God of War. They're not getting Ghost of Tsushima. They're not getting Yoshi.
Kirby, Fire Emblem. That hasn't been announced that they're getting the Final Fantasy VII remake. They're getting Kingdom Hearts 3. But, like, really, if they weren't getting this multi-platform stuff, and even then it's not a ton, like, their first-party lineup is kind of matching this Wii U's first-party lineup.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what
really
I mean?
Sad.
And it's not
and
even...
sucks.
It's not even as good. Like, you know, the Wii U stuff that we got towards the end was big things like Mario Maker and Splatoon. And
yeah,
those were huge games in their own right.
Yeah.
And it is such a strange time. But that's the thing. The people that have Xbox Ones really seem to like them. And it's not like the system's doing poorly.
No, I mean, it's doing well enough.
People buy them.
I feel bad that they're... We seem to be getting back into a point almost where the big first party exclusives really are the big thing. Like, because there was a period of a couple of years there where it was like, you know, Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed and
who got the better versions of those,
right? But even if you didn't get the best version, you still got it,
yeah.
You know. So, but we seem to be moving away from that a little bit again.
Now you it's know. More about, like, well, what am I going to play on this system? What are the things that you can only get here to make this ecosystem the one for me?
Right. You know, and right now, just Sony and Nintendo are fucking killing it.
They've both carved out these very clear identities of, like, this is the kind of thing that you can do with our platform. And they really complement each other, which is great.
They really do.
It's what I want to see happen with Xbox, is to carve out their niche that complements these other ones. Because it's like, it almost reminds me of the Sega versus Nintendo days back in, like, the Genesis versus Super Nintendo, except it's less toxic than that, you know? Like, there's obviously tons of internet warriors that are just like, Switch is awful. Oh, yeah. Horizon was terrible. Zelda's the best. Like, this is all bullshit. And I feel like the majority of the actual gaming populace gets that, like, these two platforms complement each other great. Like, if you want the ecosystem that the Switch has, like I do, that plays to my life flawlessly. If you want the ecosystem that PlayStation has, you have a cheap alternative with a regular PS4, or you have the PS4 Pro. Like, it has built this wonderful, I keep using the word ecosystem, but that's what it is. Like, it's just built this universe for itself, and they seem to have gotten away from that trying to be anything but themselves. You know, like I felt like when they did that PlayStation All-Stars thing, they were trying to be kind of like Nintendo, which they're not mascot driven. And I feel like they've really gotten around the fact that they don't have to be mascot driven. Like they don't need a mascot character like Mario. It doesn't have to happen for a platform. It used to back in the day, but it's not that way anymore. Kratos is never going to be your mascot. He's just the star of God of War. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And I really, really love that Sony has carved out such a great place for PlayStation. I'm so impressed with them. And especially their whole comeback over Xbox 360. The fact that PS3 technically won that generation with overall sales, which is astonishing to me that they were able to overcome that massively that 360 had.
And boy, did they fucking bungle that launch.
Yeah, seriously.
$600. Like, oh, that was
insanity. God, it's so fun thinking about that kind of history, you know, where those things happen, where it's, you know, Sony did that and then came back, and then, like, Nintendo did the same thing with DS. 3DS. Where 3DS launched and was, like, twice as expensive. They had to drop the price within 3 months or so, and they did all ambassador program, and then the 3DS became a huge success. But, like, man, you want to talk about crappy launches. 3DS, yes. PlayStation 3.
Those were bad.
And then they turned out to be two of like the best systems. It's just nuts.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting year.
At the end of the day, like as bad as your system launch might be, the only place I could play God of War 3 was on a PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the only place, like as bad as the DS launch was, the only place that I can play Metroid Samus Returns is on a 3DS. Like, if you have the content, it'll be there. And right now, Microsoft just doesn't have that exclusive content. Like, there's nothing that I look at where I go, man, that's the one that I wanted to play.
That's Dragon Ball FighterZ, and I have the option of PlayStation 4 and Xbox, and it's not even a contest with me. It's just not even close.
Right. Because if you're going to buy one of the two right now, it's like, well, I could buy an Xbox, or I could buy the thing that's also going to give me God of War.
And really, even for me, it's not God of War, it's Horizon. I want to play that game desperately.
You really do want to play it.
Well, all right, it's time to wrap it up. I got to go to bed, because even though it's probably going to start snowing soon, I'm probably going to have to go to work in the morning. So that is our show. Join us next week when Dan and I will be saying goodbye to the Wii Shop channel, which is closing down at the end of the month. We'll remember the good times, the not so good times, the weird times, and the super catchy music. Once again, you can get in touch with us at malikek.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade, and find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade KRIS, and Dan, you are at?
At Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme song. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Once again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for even more fresh original content. And that is it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.